This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. Is trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report, and here's my episode.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Everyone in America is an immigrant from somewhere. Even the Native Americans came over the Bering Strait several millennia ago. And today, immigration is still very important to our country. Yet there's a crisis at the southern border, and you can't watch the news without being aware of this. Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to The Strang Report. Today, I have on my podcast Dave Kubel, who is president of Intercessors for America. He was just at the southern border, and he has an eyewitness account of what's going on down there. So first of all, thank you, Dave, for taking time from your busy schedule to be on my podcast today. Tell us what you saw last week when you were at the southern border, and tell us about why you went.
Yeah, Steve, thank you for the opportunity to share with everybody. There certainly is a crisis at the border. It is an absolutely amazing thing to witness. I'm so thankful for the White House and their support of involving evangelicals, the evangelical community, and being a part of the process in this solution. Pastor Paula White, who's President Trump's pastor, and she works with the faith initiatives with the White House and all throughout the administration, sponsored this trip, put it together. And on this trip, there are about 30 of us, some representatives from the White House, some representatives from the different agencies, FEMA and HHS and Border Patrol, et cetera. And then there were some faith leaders that were on also. And so the 30 of us were able to spend a day touring, doing a drive along the border, going inside the processing centers, and then touring some of the sites that were impacted on this crisis. And it's been absolutely amazing to me. It was so revolutionary. And I realized so much on this, Steve. I had certain perceptions of the magnitude of this crisis and why this crisis is going on. But I was absolutely amazed when God revealed to me and it was demonstrated that what is fueling this crisis is crime and smuggling. There are millions, if not billions, of dollars being made by the smuggling of these immigrants up to the border and across the border. So if you put three things together, the hopelessness of these people who live in these poor, desperate countries, you mix that with the greed of a very sophisticated criminal syndicate, and then you put that with bad law, you have got the crisis that we are experiencing right now on the border. This criminal syndicate all throughout Mexico and South America, they are experts at recruiting and dangling the hope, the American dream in front of these hopeless people. And then for the cost of $8,000 a person, they are guided up to the border. And there's all sorts of payment plans that are communicated to these folks, you know, pay up front, pay when you get into America, send money back. Otherwise, your family won't be protected, et cetera, et cetera. And these criminal networks are seizing every opportunity to keep their costs down, to maximize their return. It's absolutely amazing, the hopelessness combined with greed and criminal activity. And then the final part of this is bad law. I mean, it literally is catch and release. If you have a child with you, if you say the word amnesty, or if you say the words, for the most part, saying I am in fear of something, then you are automatically put into the system and you're released into the United States. So, Steve, I want everybody to understand what is fueling this crisis, the hopelessness of poor countries, sophisticated criminal activity, and then bad law in the United States. So as I've been talking with our prayer network, those are the three things that we need to be praying about.
Now, immigrants have been coming to America for many years, of course, and they often are poor people looking for a better opportunity. I mean, this is going on for hundreds of years. Why is it so much worse now? And why would these crime syndicates be so active right now, maybe as opposed to 5 or 10 years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's a bunch of theories, some conspiracy theories on all of this. And, you know, the first wave, that big contingency that came out late last fall, you know, there were many politically motivated people and, you know, wearing fancy shoes with cell phones. And there was a lot of stories of how this was financed by leftist money and ultra leftist progressive high dollar donors to get this process started. So the process was started and the criminals got wind of the ability to make money at this because of the lax laws that we have in the ability for people to come into the country. So it's something that has been brewing, but it was really pushed off late last fall and really began to gain steam.
And so what do you think the solution is?
Well, I think you've got to fix those three things that I've talked about. But, you know, in the midst of all of this, you have Border Patrol agents that are working overtime, that are stretched beyond capacity, asked to do things that they have not been tasked to do. Our Border Patrol, our Immigration and Customs System, the ICE guys, those people have been put in place to protect our border, to weed out the bad guys. But instead, 50% of those agents are spending their time processing these immigrants that in El Paso alone, 700 to 1,000 are coming across the border every single day, 700 to 1,000. So they have to be processed, fingerprinted, their background check has to be run and Interpol and all of those kinds of things. And as a result of the huge volume, they're having to take care of children. They're having to figure out how to house all of these people. They're trying to figure out how to take care of the illnesses they see, the measles, the smallpox, the stuff that's coming across, the scabies, bacteria-eating flesh. When they come across the border, they literally have to have brand new clothes and their old clothes have to be incinerated because of all of the things that are in this mix. And so we really need to be praying for our border agents at this time because they are asked to do something that their agencies were not designed to do, and the press is all over them trying to make them look bad. So part of the solution is an immediate solution in this moment in time that we've got to have border agents that are working effectively. Sometimes these smugglers, these coyotes, whatever you want to call them, will release a group of 20, 30, 40 people to a particular spot on the border. And so a number of border agents would have to collapse in order to take care of that large number of people, which then leaves holes in the patrolling area. And so the bad guys know that. So as soon as there's a hole, they start sending bad guys over the fence or drugs over the fence or whatever. You know, when you look at the news, you think probably that most of the immigrants that are coming up from the border are from South America or Mexico. Well, actually, 60 nations have been processed in El Paso alone just in the last few months. So it's not a South America thing. The world knows that if you want to come into America, this is how you do it. You come to the border, you say, I am in fear of somebody being violent against me, or I want amnesty. You have a child with you, and then you will be put into an air-conditioned SUV patrol car and taken to the detention center in order to be processed. So part of the solution is taking care of the mass humanity that is coming across the border right now. And then you've got to fix the law. The immigration system is absolutely broken. And we've got to have just, compassionate immigration for those that have a legitimate reason to come into the United States.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about this trip last week. Why is it that you think that the government wanted evangelical leaders? You know, this does not happen very often, and most evangelicals who are Bible-believing people already support the president and his policies that would tend to be pretty conservative in terms of, you know, wanting to stop the illegal immigrants and so forth and have them follow the law to come in. Why do you think he's reaching out specifically now to the evangelical community? What can we do as a community maybe that others can't do?
Well, I think that's exactly why this trip was organized. And I got to know Pastor Paula's heart to some degree. They are organizing and activating the church on the border in ways that are absolutely amazing, full of miracles every day. And it needs to go broader than that. So let me just describe the scenario to you. So these folks, they attempt to come into the country. They don't have the right paperwork. So they are creating a criminal act by coming into our nation. They know that. They understand that. But because of the way our laws are, they know that they will be entered into the immigration process and they will be given a court date. And we know the statistics, well over 90% don't ever show up for their court date. And so it literally is catch and release. But in the process of coming in, having an initial checkup on their medical needs, given new clothes and given a shower and, you know, restroom and a place to sleep for a few hours, maybe a day or two, the criminal syndicate knows that they have to have a place to go to. So the immigrants or the criminal syndicates have organized a place for every single one of these 700 or 1,000 people to go. They have an address, a person, a contact. But ICE and Border Patrol, they cannot keep up with the volume. So they have to release these people within 72 hours, either because of law or because of just simple space. And of course, you can't just dump them at the Greyhound bus station or at the airport for them to go on their next leg. And you certainly can't dump them into the city of El Paso because they'll completely overrun the city in no time. And so churches are getting involved and they're trying to fill the gap of the 48, the 72 hours that it takes from being released from ICE and the time it takes for them to get their arrangements to get on the Greyhound bus or the airport. So if you can picture this, a church, a number of churches are doing this. They get a call from ICE and they say, hey, we need to bring 80 people to your church. They'll be there in an hour. And so a number of churches are gearing up for this type of ministry. They have cots. They've got makeshift kitchens. Many of the immigrants have yet to get cleaned up because of the volume with the Border Patrol. So they have to have showers. They have to have clean clothes because, again, the clothes need to be discarded because of what's carrying on them. And so they come and they spend a day or two, sometimes three, in these churches, and they're loved on by Christians. They're presented the gospel. And Steve, you're not going to believe the statistic. They're telling me that 99% of the immigrants that go to these churches that are Bible-believing, gospel-presenting churches, 99% accept Christ while they're there during that 48 hours. So, you know, even if the statistic is up, say the statistic is 50%. If you know that you can have 100 people coming through your church on a weekly basis, and 50% of them will come to faith in Christ, the church needs to be all over this. So in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of bad law, in the midst of the need for a border wall, there is an opportunity for the church to see kingdom advancement like no other opportunity in America today. So the White House understands this. Pastor Paula White, she understands this, and she is trying to mobilize the church all along the border with these types of ministries. Operation Border Blessing is part of it. And so that's why the White House is so committed to this. Number one, they understand the need to love people and the commandment that Jesus has given us that if you do this to the least of them, you have done this to me. And so they understand that component, but they also see kingdom results that are astounding, miraculous. So that's why I believe that the White House, and especially those in the faith-based area with Pastor Paul White, are committed to this, Steve.
Well, I haven't had the chance to tell you, so I'll tell you while I tell the listener, that last Sunday, just a couple of days ago, I was at Paula White Cain's church, which is called New Destiny Christian Center, just outside Orlando. And a friend had wanted to visit the congregation, and so I met my friend there. I had been to the church before, but never on a Sunday morning. And the reason I mention it is that even though Paula preached a sermon for Palm Sunday, she mentioned briefly this trip. She mentioned the statistic that you did about so many people coming to the Lord. She just mentioned it very, very briefly as kind of an update on, you know, what she'd been doing last week. And she spoke of it very favorably. And then, of course, I found out that you had been there and wanted to interview you on the podcast. But, you know, this does look like it's an opportunity for the church to be the church. And, of course, many churches, the Roman Catholic Church is well known for helping the immigrants. And now the Evangelical Church seems to be stepping up to the plate. And with Intercessors for America, your purpose, of course, is to get intercessors to pray for America. And now you're involved in other kinds of things, too. Tell me what you're going to be doing through Intercessors for America to try to mobilize people both to pray and to get involved in other ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. I've been telling the story to our network, similar to what I'm telling you on your podcast, that what is fueling this process is hopeless people, criminal syndication, and bad law. So we've got to be praying for those three things for sure. I mean, there are things that our government can do with other nations to help them spur on their economy in order to give people hope to stay there. And then if you have laws that say that, listen, it's not catch and release. You don't automatically get into our country if you do X, Y, and Z. So if you do those two things on both sides, it shuts down the criminal activity in the middle because there's not money to be made. And so we're going to be praying about those things. The other thing, you know, in terms of the church, we are going to be praying and are praying that the church would be activated in this day, that just those churches along the border would see the vision to have so many people come to Christ, but then churches around the country to be involved in supporting them. And then we'll pray that the gospel would go forth and that seeds would be planted in these people because, of course, they hear the gospel, but then they're going to go to their final destination. And we need to pray that that seed falls on good soil and it will produce fruit. But, Steve, I got to tell you, you know, we visited a couple of these churches, and you just mentioned that Pastor Paula talked about some large number of pounds of food that came to these churches. And I can tell you that this one church, they recently started, like within the last 6 weeks, being a part of this solution. And they are so busy and so overrun in their sanctuary, and they're kind of like in a strip mall area with cots and people coming, that they don't really have the time to build the infrastructure for food and a kitchen and all of that kind of stuff. But this pastor, Pastor Israel, he told us a number of times, for no reason, truckloads of food just show up at their church. Truckloads of milk and meat and vegetables. And he doesn't even know where it's coming from. He doesn't know how the word got out. I mean, it is modern day miracles occurring in the lives of these pastors who are trying to reach out, serve the needs of these immigrants, and present the gospel to them. So when Pastor Paul said 1 million pounds, I can believe it. But in that 1 million pounds, your listeners, they need to understand that this is not an organized, hey, I call up the food bank and the food arrives. This is a miraculous move of the sovereign Lord Almighty bringing these resources to these people who are just trying to meet the needs of these immigrants at this moment in time.
Well, that's exciting that people are responding. And of course, we'll track this down journalistically to, you know, try to find a little bit more of the who, what, when, and where. And I'm so excited to hear your update, and I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. So this must have been quite an experience for you personally. Had you ever experienced anything like this?
Well, you know, I've traveled extensively around the world and been in third world countries, but just the contrast of third world people coming to America with the hopelessness, the tiredness, the exhaustion in their eyes looking for a better life was such a sharp contrast. And there's absolutely no doubt we've got to fix our immigration system. It is absolutely broken. There is absolutely no doubt we have got to have a border that is a border and is not porous. In the midst of that, though, the opportunity for the church is absolutely amazing.
And I just want to add something. I had a conversation this week with a Christian who is not real pro Donald Trump and was assuming that he was wanting to stop immigration. And I said, no, no, no. Many, many times he says we need to have a big, beautiful wall and a great, big, beautiful door in that wall. We are a nation of immigrants. We welcome immigrants, but we also value the rule of law. And I actually went online and Googled it, and in just a few seconds, I found many, many instances. But this particular person, who very intelligent, someone I know really well, didn't even know this. Yeah. You know, just had the stereotype that we just want to stop the immigration. No, we want to stop the illegal immigration and make a way for these people to come in legally and to participate in the American experience. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord is, you know, raising up leaders such as yourself and Pastor Paul White-Cain and others to respond. And we will continue to report about this and even report on how people in churches can be involved. So as we wrap up this podcast, I'll give you the last word.
Well, thanks for that. And thank you for all that you do and all that Charisma does for the body of Christ. I thank you so much. And I would just say, I want to encourage all to be praying for our government, that they would fix our immigration system, that we would have just compassionate immigration. We need to pray for the stop of the criminal syndicated activity of drug smuggling and trafficking. I haven't even talked about all the sex trafficking and all that kind of stuff. So we need to be praying about that. And we just need to pray that the church would rise up in this moment in time, take every opportunity to meet the needs of these folks that are caught in the middle of this whole mess while presenting the gospel, that great fruit would come from it.
And tell my listeners how they can connect with what you're doing at Intercessors for America, or even to find out more about what you've been sharing with your intercessors about this situation. Is there a website?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Go to ifapray.org, and you will see a news feed there that it's a blog feed of all the recent activities and prayer points within IFA. And just today, I posted three videos that break down the three issues and my point of view on each of those issues from this past trip in a little bit more of an extended format. But we're constantly filling that with the critical things that we need to be praying for. We call it headline prayer, and it's a prayer resource for intercessors.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you to my listeners for listening to this edition of the Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.